Well, greetings and welcome this morning. Nice, sunny, warm spring day that we have here. And it's warm inside, and it's warm around the Word of God. And we're thankful to be together, thankful for each one that's able to come today, and look forward to worshiping together and sharing His truth together. Open into the book of 1 Chronicles for our first reading this morning. And we have chapter 15 before us. 1 Chronicles 15. I was looking back at the previous chapter to see if we should start back there, but let's begin in verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1. And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God, and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, "None ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God, and to minister unto him forever." And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites, of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief, and his brethren 120, of the sons of Merari, Asaiah the chief, and his brethren 220, of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief, and his brethren 130, of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief, and his brethren 200, of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief, and his brethren 80, of the sons of Uzziel, Aminadab the chief, and his brethren 112, and David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, and Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, "Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord. Let's pause there and sing together. Excuse me. I've opened to hymn 177 in the Zion's Harp. Hymn 177, Confidence.
No rings, no joys, shall lose.
Let's pray together. Father, we are so very thankful to be able to come to Thee in prayer, to come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our risen Savior. And it's in His name this morning that we call upon Thee to be in our midst. We call upon Thee to just to reveal Thyself to us through Thy Word this morning, and to both encourage us and to chastise us, Father. Some of us need to be encouraged. We need to have our faith strengthened in Thee. And some of us need to be chastised, to be corrected, to be redirected again toward Thee. And so, Father, wherever we find ourselves this morning, may we be able to draw close to Thee, and may we feel Thy presence. And Father, we just are so very thankful that we have a church body to come together with and to fellowship with. We pray that Thou would help us to be a body as is laid out in Thy Scripture, to look upon the well-being of one another, to look for the needs that each of us has, and then to use a spirit of self-sacrifice, Father, and to meet those needs and to lift one another up. We are so thankful, Father, that Thou didst love us before we loved Thee, and we just are in awe of Thy great power and of Thy majesty. And even in the coldest weather that we've been experiencing here for a while, Father, we see Thy power and we see Thy greatness. For who can change the weather save Thee, our Creator? And so, Father, we pray that where any of our lives are in a cold spell, Father, that Thou would change the weather in our hearts as only Thou can. And Father, we just pray that Thou would bless our time together here. We pray for those that are traveling, those that are sharing in a special day, in the wedding, and we just pray that this would be a blessing and just a memorable day for them, and that everyone would be able to return home safely. In all things, Father, we look to Thee and give Thee the praise and the glory. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Open to St. John, chapter 13. And again, let's start in the first verse, St. John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Well, I believe this is a familiar passage to most of us, and one that's often cited, and for good reason. It's a very powerful passage, and it's a great picture of the new kingdom that Jesus has established. All through the Gospels, we see Jesus speaking to the people. He really challenges their, I don't know if I want to call it worldview, but he challenges their perspective, and he makes them look at life in a different way. As you think back through the history of Israel, it's a very nationalistic nationalistic history. If you think back to the temple being built and just the pride that they took in that temple being built, and you think about them possessing the promised land and conquering the nations around them, and there was great nationalistic pride. And if you think back to, what's going on in First Chronicles, where we read there, and David said very specifically in verse 13 that we read together, he says, well, go back to verse 12. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites, so now sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Then he goes on to say, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So they went ahead of God. And if I look back just a couple chapters as we were singing together, Sorry, I'm having a hard time. Oh, here we go. This is in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles. And David consulted with the captains of the thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us, and let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So I go back to that just because I'm kind of, a theme is kind of coming to me from these verses that we've put together. Just that at times we run ahead of God a little bit. Sometimes we become passionate about our own things and we're not in tune with God's purposes. And I think that's what happened to the children of Israel. You know, they experienced success under the leadership of Saul. And then, you know, we know about the history of Saul, that Saul began to take things into his own hands a little bit. And he stepped beyond his bounds, right? He was the king, but he was not the spiritual leader. Samuel was the spiritual leader. And there was a time when he went to battle without taking the time to inquire of the Lord through Samuel, right? I don't know if that's specifically what David's referring to here, but in general, right, Saul is taking ownership and really taking himself out from under the authority of God a little bit. Actually, not a little bit, a lot. Sometimes we, let's just say it like it is. I mean, he was not under the authority of God anymore. Are we under the authority of God? All right? We can remove ourselves from that authority. And we can go and we can pursue on our own. And sometimes that feels right. I'm sure that felt right to Saul. Saul's thinking, I'm king. I can do this, right? Let's, you know, and it may not have been real malicious, right? He may have had even good intents, but he's looking at the enemy and he's saying, we got to deal with this and we got to deal with it now. I don't have time to wait for Samuel. I don't have time to hear what God says, right? We got an enemy here. We need to do this. And so he removes himself from that authority because of the urgency that he senses. And we can do that at times. We can sense urgency and we can attack something without putting it before God and without waiting on God. And so when they experience the breach, a few verses later, 13:11, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So that's the breach, or at least one of the breaches that he's referring to here in chapter 15. And so he's saying, you know, the Lord made a breach upon us because we sought him not after the due order. So how does that all tie in with John? Well, I think, I think you can take that same nationalistic spirit and think about what's happening here in John, right? They're under the authority of the Romans at this point, but they haven't lost, right, that desire for Israel to rise again. And right, they're following Jesus, this amazing leader, and I think even the disciples, certainly the followers from a distance, are looking at Jesus with hopeful thoughts about what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen to throw off this Roman oppression? And at times, even the disciples, right, they're kind of jockeying for position a little bit and thinking, you know, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be number one in your kingdom, right? And he just, I don't know if literally, but figuratively, just kind of shakes his head. Haven't you figured this out yet? After you've been with me this time, have you not figured it out? That it's different than that. It's not about that. It's a much different authority, and it's a much different goal that we're striving for. And he very explicitly displays that here in John 13. Washing of the feet. Was something that a servant did, right? This is something that a servant does, right? Someone that's probably not even allowed to be in the room when the meal starts, right? Someone that prepares and then exits, or someone that you know, as you come in, wash your feet, and then they remove themselves because they're servants, right? They're not part of the guests. They're not part of the part of the group, in a sense. They're just there to provide service and then leave. And now we have Jesus, who is, as it says here, you call me Master and Lord, right? They've been following Jesus as a teacher of truth, as a rabbi, so to speak, for quite some time now. And they revere Jesus. Right? And now Jesus is coming in, and it says he takes a towel, puts it around him, and pours some water in a basin. And he begins to wash their feet. And just imagine what's going through their minds, right? I mean, they're looking at each other, thinking, what? What is he doing? What's going on, right? I mean, first of all, this should be a servant. I mean, this isn't even something we should do. And now Jesus is doing it? Why is he washing our feet? This is beyond the realm of anything they could understand. And he comes to Peter. And I'm sure they all have these thoughts, right? It's just that Peter's the one that's bold enough to say something. And Peter says, do you wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? It's just such a ridiculous thought to him. And Jesus says, you don't know what I'm doing right now, but you will know. There will be a time when you will understand. And Peter says, you are never going to wash my feet. You are so above me that you are not going to wash my feet. I'm not going to permit it. And Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And then Peter says, what? Okay, wash my feet. And my hands. And my head. That's the beautiful thing about Peter, is that he's just so transparent, right? What he thinks, he says. And he's passionate about it. I mean, I'm sure he said it with full conviction. You're never going to wash my feet. Then 2 moments later, he says, okay, wash them. And wash my head. And wash, right? I think that's what the Lord appreciated about Peter, too. That he was passionate and that he was transparent. It wasn't always doing the right thing. He wasn't always thinking the right thing. But he did not put on airs. And he spoke his mind. And, you know, that we can take that to extremes, but, I think that's something that we can consider in our own hearts. Are we transparent? Right? Are we transparent? And are we honest with each other? And straightforward. And then are we passionate? Do we say what we believe with the passion that Peter had? And if we're wrong, you know, be willing to be corrected, right? He stood under the correction of Jesus there, and he's like, okay, I don't understand, but let's go. Let's go. Let's do this. Wash my feet. Wash my head. So why is Jesus doing this? He simply wants them to love each other. And I don't mean just within their group, but he wants them to love others. Right? And so he could have sat down and he could have gotten the whiteboard out and he could have said, okay, here's what I need you to do. I need you to love other people, right? But what is impactful? Isn't it when we are confronted with our own beliefs and we're just astonished? Doesn't that make an impact? I mean, aren't there things in your life that you remember from your childhood because it was so momentous, so astonishing? And that's what he's creating here, an astonishing moment where he, the teacher, he, the Lord, he, the master, he, the Son of God, he's on his knees cleaning their feet, washing their feet. And it's uncomfortable for them, right? I mean, they're squirming in their chairs thinking, I don't want him to wash my feet. My feet are gross. I don't even want you to see them, let alone touch them. But Jesus is saying, no, this is what it's about. I'm going to serve you. And that's the picture I want you to have when I'm gone. You don't understand it now, but I'm going to be gone. And I want you to remember this moment. And to think, you know, what did Jesus do? I mean, this is toward the very end. What did he choose to do? He chose to wash our feet. That must be important, right? Why is it important? Because he wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to do that uncomfortable, self-sacrificing act of love. So yeah, he could have done it on the whiteboard, but it wouldn't have lasted. It wouldn't have stayed with them. This stayed with them, I believe. And he wants the same for us. He wants us to love each other in such a way that we're uncomfortable, right? Sometimes it's uncomfortable to receive love. He wants us to receive love from each other, right? Sometimes we feel like, I got to have this, right? I got to take care of this. I got to keep my composure, right? I can't be accepting something from you. And that's not the model that Jesus laid out at all. Jesus said, let me wash your feet. Let me do that for you. And he wants us to do it for each other. And part of doing it for each other is accepting it from each other. And so let's be willing to accept each other's love in that way. We'll have a basin out there at lunchtime. You can all get started. In 16, he said, verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. So let's go beyond the moment here to what he really does, right? The servant is not greater than his Lord. So he's talking about them, and by extension, he's talking about us. We are the servants. He is the Lord. It says we're not greater than he is. And so if he's willing to do something, right, it's not beyond asking us to do it as well. And so what did he do? Well, what he did is he came from heaven and he gave up everything he had claimed to. Everything he had claimed to. And he set it aside. And he said, I rather choose to take on flesh, to become human, and to die in your place. That's what I choose to do. To set aside all claim that he had. And he's asking us to do the same thing. He's asking us to set aside the claims that we have. And to inquire of the Lord, right? The ark of God was a big deal. Because that's where they met God. Right? The mercy seat. That's where they met God. And that's where God directed them. Right? We don't have an ark of God here. But we do have an avenue to go to God and to inquire of God. And for God to direct our hearts. And He wants to do that. He wants to direct our hearts. And He wants us to lay aside our own claims and to love each other in such a way, right, that we're inspired, that we're complete in Him. Because none of us are complete by ourselves. We all have weaknesses. And it's by design. God didn't give us all the spiritual gifts. By design, He made us weak in certain areas that we would depend on each other. That as a body, we're whole. As a body, we're complete. And if any of us think that, well, you know what, I kind of got it all, then I think we're mistaken and I think we need to go back and look at the Word again. And it's such a beautiful picture to see self-sacrificing love. And it's, I can't think of a real good example, but just a thought that I have in closing is I really like theology. I really like studying the Word of God. I really like getting into the deep things of the Word. But the message of Jesus, especially from John 13, it's such a simple message. And when I think back to growing up, and some of the older believers, right, came from a generation when maybe they went through the sixth grade and then they went and farmed, or the eighth grade and then they went and farmed. But in terms of truth, in terms of love, they were beyond anything I think I'll ever attain. Because of their commitment to God. Because of their commitment to loving the church. Because of their commitment to loving each other. Loving their families. And just trusting in the truth of God. So may we be centered on that. Inquiring of God. Not pursuing our own desires, but pursuing the desires of God. And may we do it with a love for each other, a self-sacrificing love right? One that remembers that Jesus was willing to do the servant's work so that we would be challenged, right, in our own frame of mind, that nothing is beyond us. If Jesus was willing to do it, if Jesus was willing to set everything aside to be our Savior, may we be willing to do the same. Ask someone to select a hymn that we can close with. Ask a brother now to lead us in a closing prayer. We especially encourage our visitors as well.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful to be in church this morning and to just listen to the Bible and the lessons that Jesus taught us. It seems that we could hear about humility every single day of our lives and still have room to grow in that area. Help us to give love. Help us to accept love. Help us not to think about our own position in life and our own pride, but to think about others and how we can serve, how we can show the love of Jesus wherever we go and in whatever we're doing. Help us to take a smaller position or a less glamorous job and to do it with a willing and a giving heart like Jesus has taught us. We're just thankful for thy presence in our lives and always being as close as a prayer to us. We're just grateful for our friends and our families and our church families, and we just pray that you would bless them all. Please be with the wedding that's going on today. And be among them and just make that a joyous occasion too. We ask everything in thy name. Amen.